Hi, welcome to Destiny Church's weekly podcast. We're a church located in Columbia, Maryland, right between DC and Baltimore, and we're so glad that you decided to listen to our podcast. If you're looking for a message of hope, purpose, and destiny, then you're tuned into the right place. If you have any testimonies of what God has done in your life as a result of listening to this podcast, please email us at stories@yourdestiny.church. We love to hear how God is impacting people's lives through what He is doing at our church. Now, prepare your heart and mind to hear from God as we jump into this week's message.
I don't get to preach today because we have brought a preacher in the house to end out this year. He literally burned the 9 a.m. service to the ground. So I'm just excited for what God is going to say through him. As you guys know, throughout the years, we bring guest speakers, and I would never bring a guest speaker that I don't trust explicitly with you guys. But I will say the speaker for today, I trust him on a level that I have never trusted another guest speaker, because today's guest speaker, I let him marry my sister. And that's a whole nother level of trust. I let anybody preach, but you're gonna marry my sister, it's gonna be a whole. So we've run background checks on him. We have gone. But no, he is an anointed, a man of God, a man of faith. His faith challenges me. He's the senior pastor of Lifestyle Church in Alexandria, Virginia. God is moving supernaturally in the church. They're also an ARC church and a sister church. And most importantly, he's my brother and I love him outrageously. Do me a favor. Now, two things. One, the whole message. This is the last Sunday of the year, so y'all need to be rowdy. I mean, ignorant. I mean, like, act like y'all don't got no home training. And two, can you go nuts? Can you go crazy? Can you welcome my brother, Pastor Rashad?
Good morning. The band should leave, otherwise I'm going to feel tempted to sing, and I don't sing. Good morning. It is so good to see you wonderful and beautiful and awesome people. If I've not had the opportunity to meet you, my name is Rashad, and it is an honor to stand before you. I'm excited for a couple of reasons. Number one, I'm excited for just an opportunity to share God's word. I'm also excited to be able to be in the new building. Bless God. I've been in Woodlawn, I've been in Laurel and Appleton, Applegate, that one. Like, you know, so it's good to be here. It's good to be here, whether it's good to be in the house of the Lord. But also I'm thankful because as Stephen mentioned, my wife and I launched Lifestyle Church 11 months ago. And as a result of launching Lifestyle Church, over the past 11 months, we've seen, I think it's 192 people rededicate or connect with God. We've seen this past holiday season, we were able to provide personal needs for 75 unhoused families. And the biggest thing is that 15 of those salvations are people who are under the age of 12. And all of that could happen, praise God, all of that, that could not have happened without the support of people like you. As you're leaving this impact season, and some of you are still giving, on behalf of myself, the 200 people or more that we've touched, I want to say thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for your dedication. And thank you to your commitment to moving forward the cause of Christ. And so why don't you take a moment and give yourself a hand. Awesome. I give honor to my brother. But more importantly, he's a friend. And I think they say one of the loneliest jobs is actually that of like a pastor and a CEO. And it's good to have not just a brother and just family, because you kind of forced to family, right? You know, like he said he allowed me to marry her, but she had to say yes, right? And so, but it's something different to have a friend. To have a friend that won't just go to the heights with you, but will go low. And Pastor Stephen and Zai have been that for Stephanie and I, so I want to thank you. You have an awesome pastor. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. So I am excited about the message that I'm going to share today. When I received the invitation, I actually prayed about, okay, what is it that I'm, what can I share? And I feel like God really laid something on my heart that I'm excited to share. We're going to start off in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. And it reads, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. As I begin to seek after God and see, okay, what is it that I can share? What is it that you want to say to your people on December 30th, 2019? And there was 2018, excuse me. There was one phrase that he said to me, and it was, finish well, start right. Turn to your neighbor and say, finish well, start right. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for being here with us. We've already felt your presence. And as we turn our attention to your word, I pray, God, that you will speak to each and every person that is here, that you will give us instruction, encouragement to move towards not just where we are right now, but where you have called us to be. Also speak to us, God, collectively, that we may walk into all the promises that you provided to us. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So about half of you in here have never met me or heard me preach. And so similar to what Pastor Zai did at the beginning, I want to provide a bit of a roadmap, kind of tell you about me and what's going to happen for the next 35 minutes. So my name is Rashad, as you heard, and I'm what they call a treacher, right? I'm not just a teacher, but I'm also not just a preacher. And so I'm going to go through in a systematic standpoint, but there'll be times where I may yell, I may like jump, and so I don't want you to be surprised, right? And so I'm going to start off with an introduction. Then someone said, thank you. We're going to start off with an introduction. Then after the introduction, we'll do point one, point two, point three. Then we will do a conclusion. We all good? All right, so in looking at this, in looking at the phrase to finish well and start right, immediately it's like, okay, God, what do you want to share or what should we talk about? And I was reminded that where we stand right now is a time of transition. It's a time of adjustment, and the Bible has many times of transition and many times of adjustments. And so I've looked over all of Scripture, and I found three things that I think are important that you can find in every transition and in every season of change. But before we go into there, it's important in the introduction that we're looking at this the correct way. And in looking at this the correct way, I want to start off by talking about 2018. Now, I'm pretty sure if I was to ask you about 2018, I would get one of three responses. Some of you will respond like this guy right here. Yay! Okay, that's not right. All right, so there we go. Some of you will respond excited like this guy. Like you're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. It was the best year. I got married. I got a new job. I got some kids. I graduated. I got in. This was the best year of my life. Some of you are not so happy. You're actually a little sad. And your face would look similar to this young lady. And thinking about the year, it was a year of heartache. It was a year of disappointment. There were some things that I thought would happen that may not necessarily have happened. It was, I walked into the year with my resolution and my goal, and I was charging forward, and now I find myself at a point of disappointment. But statistically, most of us are like this third person, where it's kind of like, meh, you know, it was, meh. It was, you know, I made it. Praise God, you know, preacher, hallelujah, but you know. It was no different than the other years. But for us to properly look at this correctly, I want to remind you that as you're in this transition point, it's not just important about the year, but it's important about how you look at life. Because yes, this is one year, but this is one year in the larger aspect of your life. And so as we're talking about how to finish well and how to start right, it's important that we don't just look at 2018, but we have to consider 2017 and 2016 and 2015 and all the way back to 1982 if you are as old as I am. And so in looking at this, it's important to start right and look at life in the proper perspective. And that is where the Apostle Paul was. He was at the end of his life. And he was looking over the course of his life. And when he was talking to his mentee, he didn't say, I preached a bunch of amazing messages. He didn't say, I lived in some of the best places. He didn't say, I drove the best car. He didn't mention any of those things. The first thing that he said to him was, I have fought the good fight. Now, that statement is instructive. And so what he's telling us is, in life, you're going to face a fight. So don't become discouraged when you face the fight. The question is, are you facing or are you fighting the good fight? There are some fights in life that are not worth fighting. And so he's saying, as I'm looking back over my life, it's important to make sure that I'm fighting the right fight. I'm fighting the fight for my marriage. I'm fighting the fight for my destiny. I'm fighting the fight for my purpose. We got to make sure in looking at this, if we're going to finish well and start right, we have to be able to fight the right fight. Beyond that, he's also said, I finished my course. Now, he is using an analogy of a race to talk about life, not necessarily a sprint, but more of a relay race. Now, a lot of us, back then, the Olympics were a really big deal. And so when he talked about that, they were able to relate. I'm going to give you something more relatable. Another example could be, life is like a Broadway show. Somebody say, woo! Life is like a Broadway show, especially those of you who are musically inclined, especially those of you who can sing that I'm jealous of. You've seen a person where you say, how was your day? Today was amazing! It's like, it wasn't that amazing, was it, right? Or some of us may think about our lives not as a Broadway show, but perhaps as a blockbuster movie. You think about it when you walk in, there's theme music, dun, 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 and you're walking. This is my wife. You walk in, and the wind is behind you, and the hair is flowing, and you're like, I'm here. Maybe if you don't relate to a Broadway show, or maybe you can't relate to a blockbuster, some of you may see your life as a television show, as a sitcom where there is episode after episode after episode. But regardless how you view your life, what's important is that your life is not just an episode in a television show. It's not just a scene in a Broadway show, nor is it just a portion of something, but your life is measured in the whole. So as you're looking over 2018, it's important not to just focus on just one aspect, but to look at it as a whole. And the most important thing in looking over your life is what he said last was, he said, I kept the faith. The most important thing where you stand right now is, how are you with your faith? Have you kept the faith? Have you held on to what it is that God has called you to do? Now, regardless where you stand in those three areas, I have good news for you. Because the sheer fact that today is December 30th means that the year has not yet ended. And that you have the ability to make a decision today that can change and transform this entire year. Amen? So in looking at this, all right, so to summarize the introduction, it's important that we look back not just on this year, but we look at our life as a whole. That we look at the overall big picture. Because again, how many of you said life was a Broadway show? How many of you is an episode on a television show or a big show? How many are a blockbuster? I can tell a lot about you by you raising your hand. Regardless where it is right now, you are just at a simple point of a transition. The episode may end, but your life has not ended. The scene may be able to end, but your life has not ended. But regardless where you stand, there are three things you can do to finish well and to start right. Three things you can do. The first thing is to remember. Remember. Those of you who take notes, write down, remember. In every transition that we see in the Bible, they were always told to remember. The question is to remember what? I'm so glad you asked. You are to remember and look back and see what has happened over this past year. Now, in remembering, don't get caught up in the trap. The trap is to hyper-focus. The trap is to focus on what did I eat, what did I wear, what did I dress, and you can find yourself getting caught up in details. And if you get caught up in details that really don't matter, you can find yourself making the same mistake that was made 46 years ago. There was an Eastern Airline flight 401, and it was flying over Florida, and it was getting ready to land. And so it came time for them to make the necessary adjustments, and all of a sudden, the plane crashed. When the authorities came to the plane, they found out that everything was in working order. Nothing was wrong with the plane. So the question is, what happened to the plane? Why did it crash? Well, when they went and looked over the black box, they realized that when it came time for them to lock in the nose gear that's necessary for landing, that there was a little small light that did not cut on. Now, it was simply a bulb went out. But the crew began to focus on the fact that that light was not on. They focused on it so much that they missed the fact that the nose gear was locked and autopilot was off. And so in the midst of that, it crashed, not because anything was wrong, but because the crew was focused on the wrong things. So as you begin to leave where you are and enter into a next season, it's important for you to remember, but to remember the right things. My question is, in this year, what have you learned? What is God doing in your life? What is the overarching theme of your story? What is it that I understand things may not have worked out the way that you wanted them to, but the Bible promises you they work out for your good, so I'm pretty sure there's some good somewhere. So stop long enough with the purpose of discerning God's hand. What is he doing? How is he moving? How is he shaping and transforming? I have this statement I'm going to say that some of you may want to write down. It's remembering with the purpose of discerning God's hand will force you to stop hyper-focusing and look on the big picture. Oh, I'm sorry. Remembering with the purpose of discerning God's hand will force you to stop hyper-focusing on minor details and see the bigger picture. Now, the reason that you're trying to see the bigger picture is because you want to frame your present. Frame your present. Now, that word frame is an interesting word. You want to frame your present, meaning, how many of you have seen cement? Yes, we've all seen cement. All right, cement is this gooey substance, and wherever you pour it, in about a couple of minutes, it's going to dry. So to make sure that it makes the form and shape that they want, they do something called framing. They take some 2x4s, and they put the 2x4s around, then they pour it in there, and the 2x4s determine the shape that's necessary. Another way where they use framing is in movies. You've all seen the shot of a movie where there's lights and there's cameras and there's all this stuff happening everywhere, but what they show you is really this big. How about this example? Another thing you see in framing is Instagram. Right? You make sure that you stand in a way so they can't see your nasty bedroom. Right? You make sure that you stand in a way so that they can't see your boss because you shouldn't be working anyway, but I'm a pose the right way. You make sure that they see that you're standing in front of somebody else's car. I'm sorry, let me stop. Let me go back to my notes. So in reflecting over past situations, it's the purpose of allowing your lessons to frame your present. To frame the present. Look back where you are, not based off of, stuff that don't matter. Look at it based off the big picture. Look at it based off where are you. I can guarantee you are further along right now than you were a year ago. And don't allow comparing yourself to somebody else's frame, comparing your season one to somebody else's season finale, cause you to get all caught up. So it's important to make sure that we're looking back for the purpose of framing where I am right now. Things may not have worked out the way I wanted them to, but I know they've worked out for my good. There were things that I thought that may happen that did not happen, but when I step back and assess based off the things that are most important, when I step back and look at my health, look at my peace of mind, look at my protection, I can say that God's hand was in my life. So if you're going to finish well and start right, you have to remember. In the midst of all of this, if there's one thing that you need to remember that God was with you. Remember the fact that God was with you. Now, I know some of you don't believe me, And that's, we can look at the record of David. David said in Psalm 139, he said, "Where can I go from your presence?" I'm going to give you the Rashad version, right? He said, "If I go to the highest height, you're there." He said, "If I go down, you're there." He said, "If I go all the way over here, you're there. If I go all the way over there, you're there." He said, "Regardless where I go, you are there. Even if I'm in, watch me now, even if I go to the darkest place, it's not dark to you. Your light shines." And so I want to speak to some of you. I know the year has been hard, and I'm not trying to tell you to ignore that, but recognize the fact in the midst of your darkness, God is standing right there with you, because he promised you that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. The psalmist said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? Because he is with you. So remember the big picture. Remember what God is doing. But most of all, remember the fact that God is with you. And the same God who was with you in 2018, all the way back to 1982, if it's me, is the same God, I'm 36, is the same God that's going to be with you as you move forward. So if you're going to finish well, you need to finish being reminded of the fact that my God is with me. Being reminded of the fact that the greater one of Israel is right here on my side. Being reminded on the fact that some people aren't here who I thought would be here, but he's here. Reminded of the fact that I may not have gotten the job that I wanted to, but I have him. Being reminded of the fact that God is with me. So if we are going to finish well and start right, we have to do what? Remember. Now we're moving on to point number two. In looking at point number two, the second thing that we must do is reconcile. It's reconcile. Why reconcile? Because I'm not naive. I know some of you, I can tell by the way I'm asking you to look over the year, you're a little uncomfortable because there are some things that have happened that did not happen the way that I thought they should happen. And the lie of this culture is to tell you to ignore them. No, you don't ignore them. You stand, look them dead in the face, and you deal with it. How do I deal with it, Rashad? I'm glad you asked. The way you deal with it is for the purpose of reconciling. Reconciling means to take the balances and make them zero. How many of you remember when we had banking before online banking was available? Remember, like, writing a checkbook? Had to, yeah. So those of us who remember, you would get something in the mail called a statement. Right? And you would take that statement to see if what they charged me lines up with what's in my checkbook. And if it doesn't line up with my checkbook, I'm going to call the 1-800 number and I'm going to say, "You owe me $5. Right? A lot of you now, you don't reconcile. You just spin and log in and hope that there's more money in there. That's not reconciling. That's, we deal with that financial piece. So, reconciling means to bring the balance to zero. Reconciling is not necessarily resolving. It's possible to resolve and not reconcile. Reminds me of a couple where they were getting into an argument and they decide, "We're going to resolve it." You want to know how they resolved it? Silent treatment. "I ain't talking to you. You ain't talking to me." The only issue is the husband had to catch a flight in the morning. And his alarm clock was his wife. He was like, "What am I going to do?" He had a bright idea. He wrote a note. "Please wake me up at 5 a.m. Gave her the note. She looked at it. He laid down, went to sleep. All of a sudden, he woke up. You know how you wake up when you didn't get an alarm clock? You're like, "Oh my gosh, what just happened?" He woke up like that. He looked at it. It was 9 o'clock. He turned over, being mad, and saw a note. Said, "Wake up, it's 5 o'clock. Anytime you try to resolve things, you can find yourself having an external solution, but the problem is still happening internally. The only way that I can deal with things internally is to reconcile them. How do I reconcile them, Rashad? I'm glad you asked. You reconcile them by first starting with God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 19, actually 17 tells us that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. But then verse 18 says, "And all of this is from God, who reconciling himself to the world," reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So that's a fancy way of saying God sent his son to reconcile us with God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, right? That verse. That's another way of saying we sinned. We were far from God. We were not reconciled unto God. And the way God dealt with it was he sent his son. Not only did he send his son for us to be reconciled unto him, but he's also giving us the ministry of reconciliation. That means the same way that we are reconciled unto God, we are supposed to go and reconcile others. That means the same forgiveness that God has given me, I'm supposed to give that to somebody else. Now, I can see the way some of y'all are looking at me. You're like, Rashad, but you don't know what he did to me. You are correct. I don't know. But I'm going to reframe it for you because I may not be saying what you think I'm saying. Another way to say it is the Bible tells us if someone slaps you, that you're to turn the other cheek. But my follow-up statement is, that doesn't mean you have to stay within striking distance. I'm going to say it again. The Bible tells us if someone slaps you to turn the other cheek, if someone does something to you to forgive them, but it doesn't mean that you're supposed to stay within striking distance. God is not giving you a sentence to stay in unhealthy situations where people are going to abuse and take advantage of you. What he is saying is you can't control that. But what you can control is your heart and your positioning. So what you have to reconcile is your heart. And some of you are walking around carrying baggage from 15 years ago, and the person is living their life and they can care less about you. And what I'm telling you, in order for you to finish well and start right, it's important for you to reconcile. That doesn't mean that you got to pick up the phone and call them and say, hey, I'm taking you out of my life. You got to make sure your heart is right. You got to make sure that there's no bitterness, that there's no anger, because that does not bother them. It only bothers you. And you don't want to walk into this new season carrying baggage, which was a series that was preached. You don't want to walk into the season carrying baggage. You don't want to walk into this season carrying things that you are not supposed to carry. But some of us, it's hard to reconcile because we've not reconciled things with ourselves. 1 John tells us that I am to love the Lord my God with my heart, my mind, my soul, and my strength, and I'm to love you as I love myself. What that lets me know is I can only love you to the degree that I love myself. Another way to say it is I can tell how well you love God based off how you love me. He said, how can you say that you love a God who you cannot see and not love a person that you do see? And so a lot of us, the issue with reconciling is that there are some things that I've not reconciled with me. There are some things that I've not forgiven myself of. And so to talk about it from a different perspective and to show you God's heart concerning it, I want to talk to you about a story that's found in John 8, verses 1 through 11. No need to turn there. I will paraphrase it for you. Jesus is coming down the mountain, and the Pharisees are attempting to trick him. They were a little upset with Jesus because he was just a G, just doing miracles and signs and just crushing it. And they were mad. So they're like, you know what? We're going to catch him. So they took a woman who was caught in adultery and they brought her before him. Now, I always wondered where was the guy because it takes two. But that's another sermon, you know. So they bring her in front of him and they say, Jesus, tell us what to do with her. Now, the reason they were trying to trap him is because the law of Moses said she should be stoned. So if he said stone her, then that means he was committing or involved in that murder. But if he said not to, then he was going against the law of Moses. So they thought they had him between a rock and a hard place. And Jesus, being as cool as he is, got down on his knee and started writing. Now, the narrator does not tell us what he was writing in the sand. But what was important is that when he got back up, he said, those of you who have not sinned, throw the first stone. So that lets me know that whatever he was writing in the sand reminded them that they were not sinless. Reminded them that they owed a balance. It reminded them that their account was not zero. And so when he stood up and said, those of you who have no sin, throw the first stone, it said, starting with the oldest, you know, there's wisdom in age, they began to drop their rocks to the point to which they were all gone. And he said, woman, where are your accusers? She said, there are none. He said, I don't accuse you either. Go forth and sin no more. Now, in talking to a rabbi, he said another way you can say that is, I have forgiven you, forgive yourself and don't sin anymore. I have forgiven you, forgive yourself, go forth and sin anymore. Now, looking at this through the frame of reconciliation, Jesus, from my perspective, stepped into the situation and first paid the price and dealt with the issue between her and the other people. Then he dealt with the issue between her and herself, and he dealt with the issue between him and her. And so I've come here to let you know that I don't care what you've done, I don't care what situation, what circumstance, how you have fallen short, what mistakes you have made, what disappointments, it does not matter. God has forgiven you. Not only has God forgiven you, but he's also wiped your slate clean. He said that there is nothing that you owe anybody but to love him. Romans 8 tells us that we are to owe no man nothing but to love him. Now, some of y'all don't seem like y'all actually agree with me, so I'm gonna have you do an act. Pull out your cell phone. She's like, uh-oh. Pull out the cell phone and stand up. Uh-huh, yeah. Pull out your cell phone and stand up. Now, open up your camera. I mean, if we're going to go into 2019 right, we got to do it right, correct? Open up your camera, make it front facing. Now, before you look at your, stop taking selfies, not yet. Stop. Now, before you look at yourself, I want you to think about the thing that you need to forgive yourself for. Think about the mistake you made. Think about the shortcoming. Think about the thing that you keep asking forgiveness for. Is that on your mind? Now, put your phone up and look at yourself and say, God forgives you. I forgive you. God forgives you. I forgive you. God forgives you. I forgive you. You believe it yet? Okay, we're going to do it three more times until y'all believe it. Say, God forgives you. I forgive you. God forgives you. I forgive you. We're leaving it in 2018. It can't come into 2019. We've been reconciled. All things are passed away. And behold, all new things are coming forth. God forgives me. I forgive me. And now the third thing you have to do is to rejoice. Psalms 100 verse 4 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and enter into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his holy name. Enter into his gates with what? How many of you are thankful? So we're going to try this again. He said, enter into your gates with what? How many of you are thankful? That was good for me. Now we're going to do it one more time for the Lord, okay? He said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and enter into his courts with praise. How many of you are thankful? Oh, come on. Take some time and just begin to thank the Lord. Thank you, God, for healing me. Thank you, God, for saving me. Thank you, God, for redeeming me. All right, you can be seated. See, I'm about to get happy by myself. He said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and enter into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his holy name. Why? Because the Lord, he is good. Why? Because the Lord, he is good. So if you're going to finish well and start right, it's important that you first leave 2018 with thanksgiving. I don't know what your year has been like, but I can guarantee you that you have a reason to be thankful. I don't know what you've encountered. I don't know what you've endured, but you have a reason to be thankful. If for nothing else, thankfulness gives you the right frame. It allows me to see things from the right perspective. But he didn't stop there. He said, not only do I have to have thanksgiving, but I also have to have praise. What is praise? Praise is a proclamation about who God is. It is saying the fact that God, you are good. God, you are awesome. God, you are mighty. God, you are a provider. And the wonderful thing about praise is the Bible says that God himself inhabits the praises of his people. So that means that when I take time and I praise God, that God is in the midst of that. So regardless where you are concerning your year, I tell you, if you just take a few minutes and just praise God about what's going to happen, praise God about what I'm excited about, not only will he be in the midst of it, but it says that he goes before you. The conclusion. If you're going to finish well and start right, it's important that you leave 2018 thankful and that you enter 2019 with praise. I'm going to say it again because I'm not saying it to get a response. I want it to sink in. If you're going to finish well and start right, it's important that you leave this year being thankful. It's important that you leave this year thanking God, not just for the good stuff, but thank him for the stuff that didn't happen the way you wanted him to. Thank him for the fact that, God, I still have my faith. And faith is used when things don't work out the way I thought they would work out, but I'm trusting God that they're going to work out for my good. So as you leave this year, as you leave this service, as you go home, make sure that you're thankful. Don't get caught up into that, oh, I'm so glad 2018 is gone. Oh, praise the Lord. No, be thankful. You made it. It's 364 days. You made it. But as you're leaving with thanksgiving, you need to enter with praise. You need to enter being thankful for the fact that God is awesome, God is mighty, and enter into the year celebrating God. Now, there's an easy way to enter into the year celebrating God. Just come to Catalyst. But, you know, that's And so in closing with the scripture that we started off with, the Apostle Paul is letting us know that's what's important in life. Is making sure that we finish well and that we start right. For him, finishing well meant that he actually fought the good fight. I want to encourage you, don't become discouraged by the fight. Know that God is with you in the fight. He also said that I have finished my course. Whatever God has called you to, finish it. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't back out. Finish it. But the last and most important thing is keep the faith. Keep the faith. There are many stories in the Bible about how things changed in a moment because of faith. So as you leave this year, as you finish well and start right, you got to grab a hold to your faith. You got to make sure that you hold on to the things that are most important. And looking at that, there are some of you who are, yes, I want to keep the faith, but you may not necessarily have a relationship with God. So after I pray with everyone, I'm going to give you that invitation. But before we do that, I want to take time and pray from the message that we've heard. With every head bowed and every eye closed, Father, we thank you for the message that you have spoken to us. We pray, God, as we begin to leave 2018, God, that you will equip us to be able to finish well. We thank you for what you've done in this year, and we frame it in the fact that it was a good year because you were there. And God, we also pray as we enter into 2019, God, that you will help us to start right, that we will lean into you, that we will come to the Catalyst, that we'll engage in the times of prayer and the times of connecting with you, knowing that how we start is just as important as how we finish. Now, for those of you who may not have a relationship with God or may want to reconnect with God, I want to provide an opportunity for you to connect with him. The Bible says that if we confess the Lord Jesus and that we accept him, that we are saved and that we have the ability to come into a relationship with him. So I'm not going to ask you to stand up, raise your hands, or do anything like that. But in the quietness of this moment, I want to give you an invitation to come to a relationship with God. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have everything mapped out. All you have to do is be willing to surrender your life unto him. So there are some of you who feel that tug in your heart right now, and I want you to recognize the fact that that's God drawing you closer to him, that you have the ability to reconcile this year by finishing well, which means accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If that's you, I'm going to say a prayer and I want you to repeat after me. I want to invite all of the audience to repeat after me as well, to create an environment for those who are accepting Jesus. If you're accepting Jesus, say this prayer. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. I accept you as Lord and Savior. I surrender my old lifestyle, and I accept that of becoming a disciple with you. I am excited about this decision, and I thank you for being my Lord and Savior. In your name I pray, amen.
Thanks again for tuning into this week's message. If you want to learn more about our church, check us out at www.yourdestiny.church. Meet our leadership team, find a way to connect with our church, and partner with us through giving. You can also connect with us on social media by visiting our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram pages. Tune in next week for another message from our pastor, Stephen Chandler.